Welcome to hour number two on a Monday with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bint. Tired of just scratching the surface of Korea? Want to get deep in the weeds?
We unpack everything about Korea through its history on
Now and Then with David. I'm not a creature of habit, am I? I've been saying with David for the longest time, but because I never changed the script and it's still next to your name, I'll sometimes slip up. I'm fallible, infallible, what's the word? Fallible? I don't know. I'm prone to mistakes.
Especially on Mondays. Is there new music?
No, it's just that we left it longer, I think, than
okay,
usual.
I've never heard that
we
before.
We haven't heard the ending yeah. part. Our producer likes to keep us on our toes with the intro music these days. How are you doing, David? Looking very well.
I'm feeling happy, healthy. Life is going good. In the last week, I've resumed running, which I used to talk about a lot, and I've started tock ticking, if I'm allowed to say it that
you
way.
You may indeed. What brought you onto that platform?
Well, I teach digital media and communication, and I think I just need to know more about media. I need to know what it is rather than just talk about it. So I decided I would get little bits and clip them up and put them up there, and it's going quite well.
Ooh, that's the platform with a lot more of a younger demographic maybe than Insta and the Book of Faces and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. So I put a little bit of guitar in there, playing some K-pop songs,
and then
I started getting some of my three-hour conversations with people.
Yeah.
I started like clipping a 60-second explaining Nunchi, or I also got Mike Breen talking about meeting Kim Il-sung in person in Pyongyang.
Wow.
And I made a 60-second TikTok of it with pictures and stuff, like I edited it up.
That must be tough, I assume, right? Usually you might think, summarizing something is not too bad. But when you've got hours of stuff, what to put in 60 seconds must be a bit of a head scratcher.
I was sitting outside thinking I'll get 60 seconds of my conversation with Pete and make that into a little TikTok, because there'll be something in there that will be interesting. People want to know about Korea, and so that's what I've been doing. It's been quite fun.
That's a good way to get them then over onto the longer content, right? Maybe hooking them in.
It's just something to do. I like doing new stuff. I've always been like that.
Have you got hooked onto like the stream as well, like consuming stuff on there? Because I did it for a while, for about 3-4 months. I was actually getting paid to create content on there because they wanted in Korea to have more educational stuff instead of just dancing and like random things.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm trying to do.
That's exactly what they love at the headquarters. But I started getting a bit hooked to it.
Yeah.
And Insta at the time didn't do this, but I think they do now. Like when you tried to exit, it would just refresh your stream like once or twice.
You got to press twice to get
out. I was like, I would end up looking like at least a minute or two more than I wanted to. So I was like, this isn't good for even me.
Mm. I manage my social media quite well across all platforms because I know I need to read books. I know I need to write and things like this. So, but it's just keeping me up to date with more trends and fads, and I have to do recording and think of all the shots myself. I'm going to do some today. I'm going to be wearing some kyobok. We're renting some school uniforms.
Traditional Korean kind of style.
Yeah, so we're going to do a thing parodying the glory. And so
amazing.
We've got to record all the shots. So TikTok is very useful for staying up to date with what's fresh.
Wow. Today's Now and Then topic, we're going to a city. I've previewed it. Where are we going and why, David?
We're going to Ulsan. Oh, no, I can speak properly.
Say the city name.
I can say the city names.
Although it feels like a brand these days. It's plastered everywhere.
Busan is good.
Yes.
Busan, it's good. This morning, we're going to talk about Busan. I'm sure many of the listeners, they've heard many stories. They know many things about Busan. Shall we show them a picture? We asked the PD to give them a picture. Look at that. Who doesn't want to go there? I mean, you're talking about fine dust and everything here in Seoul and the weather. I'd love to be there right now.
Oh, absolutely. That's like, I don't know. It's been there for ages now, that skyscraper area near the kind of harbour at the end of Haeundae, if I'm not mistaken. But when I first went there in 2008, it wasn't this high rise next to the ocean. But it was still amazing back then. Yeah. Now it just looks like the future somehow.
Yeah, casinos there as well. I went there before you then, if you only went first in 2008.
Well, I did go as a kid, but I had bad memories because it took like 7 hours in those days. You went round mountain passes and I think I nearly drowned in Hellendale when I was a child, so I didn't really like it. It's beautiful though now, isn't
it? It is beautiful. Let's give you some data about Busan. So we come from the United Kingdom and we have so many big cities. We think of them, Sheffield, Birmingham, Liverpool, Manchester, Nottingham, Glasgow, London. It goes on and on. Korea is a little bit more different in that it's Seoul dominates so much. You have this idea of in Seoul. Everybody wants to come to Seoul, to go to university in Seoul, to do these things. Busan is definitely the second city of Korea. It's the second most populous city. It has around 3.5 million people living there. It's the sixth busiest port in the world.
Wow.
That changes up and down a little bit, sometimes fifth and fourth and seventh, but it's one of the world's busiest ports. The Nakdong River is Korea's longest river. So it's home to Korea's longest river.
Ooh.
And it's home to Korea's largest beach, which Pete just mentioned, which he nearly drowned. We'll show you a picture. And if the PD zooms in, you might be able to see Pete struggling for his life in amongst the waves there.
The waves there are pretty big, you know. It's not like one of those shallower seas where you'd let the kids run free, for sure. I don't know if I was aware of that. That's the largest strip of beach in Korea.
Haeundae Beach is Korea's largest beach.
Wow.
That's it. And I chose this photo because it looks nice, but when you see it in the middle of summer, you can't see the sand.
No.
It's just wall-to-wall people. And people from Busan don't normally go to Haeundae Beach.
No.
If you speak to them, they're all off on the other beaches around the corner where it's a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
But if you go to Busan, you're going to Haeundae Beach.
Absolutely. It is an experience. Well, the first few summers I went there, and then I found some quieter, nicer beaches. But when you go and there's so many parasols, you have to rent an umbrella and a spot on the beach, and you get your food delivered. It's good to do once or twice. It's so different.
You see people in bikinis and high heels and sunglasses. It's a trendy place for sure.
It is an eye-opener. There is a reason, before we get into more details, the reason we're doing Busan now, for our listeners who might not know, if you're in Korea, I think you can't not know. It's being plastered everywhere. We're trying to get the 2030 World Expo there.
That's
right.
Right. And it's up against some stiff competition. Okay. Cities in Saudi Arabia, Rome, but at the moment it's all about Busan Expo 2030. There's so many articles in the newspaper. And so we thought, rather than look to the future, let's have a look at Busan's past and its history.
Yeah, and you guys can be the judge. Decide if you think if it deserves the World Expo. That is a big event after all. So when we talk about Busan, second largest city, there must be a few famous people from Busan.
Well, we are Daily K, so I thought I would bring some celebrities that our listeners might know. Have a look at the next picture. These two gentlemen are from Busan. We won't call them boys anymore. I think they get it up there in their age. Jungkook and Jimin from BTS, both from Busan. Oh My Girls, Arin, and 17's Woozi, amongst many others.
Wow. Well, having two, not even one, but two members of BTS from Busan, that's going to put the city on the map for all the ARMY fans, right?
Absolutely. And BTS have done their concerts down there. There's talk to get them to perform for the Expo 2030. So there is using that sort of BTS vibe, but many people from Busan, yeah. But there's some of them for you.
Fabulous stuff. In terms of Busan, what's this
attitudes
next point?
Attitudes. The next point is attitudes. What I would like to talk about here is that I mentioned this concept of in Seoul. Lots of people think Seoul is the mecca. Seoul is the place where you have to come, and if you're going to make it in Korea, if you're going to make it anywhere, you're going to make it in Seoul. That seems to be the attitude of many Korean people. Now, there's 50 million, so we shouldn't generalize too much.
Sure.
But it seems that foreigners love Busan more than Korean sometimes.
Oh.
I know a lot of people that live in Busan, foreign people that live in Busan, and they're like, this place is amazing. I don't know why everybody's sleeping on Busan. You've got it twisted. Seoul's not all that. It's congested. It's hot. It's steamy. It's all the fine dust, the weather. Busan's the place to be.
Yeah.
Koreans won't hear that conversation as much.
There's not really a debate.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Seoul is not the place to be.
Yeah.
And I find that there's a bit of a split whether you're an expat or a foreigner and whether you're a Korean. And many of my expat friends, they want to live outside of Seoul. You know, that's kind of their aim, is to maybe have a place, like you over in Gangwon-do, or maybe closer in Yangpyeong. I know a lot of people building houses there.
Yeah.
And when I tell my Korean friends and my family, my wife included, they're like, yeah, but we can't move there. That's not what we want to do, with kids in mind and school and education and blah, blah, blah. You're right. It's a complete split in attitudes
between,
isn't it?
Yeah, the local Korean people and immigrants.
Yeah. Basically, that is it.
Welcome to Arirang Radio.
If you are in Jeju,
88.7 in Jeju City,
88.1 in Seogwipo City,
101.9 in the Daejeong area.
Arirang Radio.
We are back for part two now and then with David in the studio talking about Busan, because it is bidding for the World Expo 2030, and many of you getting in touch with messages. Sunflower Skies says you're a first-time listener and loving it, and you said you were actually in Busan last fall, and during the week it wasn't that crowded at all. Yeah, if you're there in the summertime, maybe even the weekdays would be busy, but in the fall, spring, maybe even in the winter as well, it's a bit quieter during the weekdays for sure.
Korea has things on beaches. I might have spoken about it. Welcome to the show, by the way, Sunflower. That you might think of the beach as a natural place that's always there, but Korea has opening and closing time for beaches, not just in terms of season, but also during the day. So at like 6 o'clock, the beach is closed and you're not allowed to swim in some beaches and things like that. You've seen that, haven't you?
You're not allowed in the water.
Blows my mind that that's a thing. It's like, the beach is still there, Mr. Lifeguard. I can still swim.
And I'm a competent like adult. I heard some foreigners again discussing this the other day at Ohaeshik, and they were like, it's so ridiculous that there's a restriction on my freedom to go into the sea. And the Koreans were like, no, that's just normal, of course. And I was like, well, that, and I'd never thought of it either way. And I could see both points of view. Obviously it's for safety reasons is what they tout from Korea. But yeah, that's an interesting thing. And yeah, for certain months you're just not allowed in it, right?
Yeah, when it's closed. It's closed. And I remember my grandfather sort of walking down to Dover Beach even in the autumns and winters, and he would go for a swim.
Wow, you could just do that, right? Freely. You got a couple of messages.
Got some messages here. Marilyn says she hates crowded beaches. Will it give Bondi Beach a run for its money? I think you'll find a very different vibe. It's a beach bar beach. Every beach would be different here, I think, Marilyn. But if you've never been, it's certainly something to check out. Raul says Busan looks like an oasis. Awesome city. Not big, not too busy. Amazing beaches. And yes, Lotte Giants.
Yeah, the big baseball team. They've got a huge fervent following, right? One of the big teams, famous for having those inflated like plastic bags on their heads sometimes, right?
Korean baseball's a trip.
We love it. I would say, Marilyn, like comparing it to Bondi Beach, I've never been, so I can't compare. But the brilliant thing about Busan is that photo we showed you first, it's like the modern skyscrapers, like literally meters from the sea. Coming from the UK, and like Brighton's quite built up, but it's not like that. It's not like the future meeting nature. And that's what I feel is the strong point of Busan. Some people might not like that, right? They want their nature to be like nature, where there's all like cars going by the front of the beach there, and those like 20, 30, 40, 50 story buildings. It's just so different, I'd say.
It is different. I would also say we don't really have time to get into it, but the culture on the beach is different. If you go to Bondi Beach, you're going to see lots of sports, lots of games, lots of people doing activities. Korean beaches are a little bit more, I don't want to say passive, but there's not that focus on games and activities and sports and throwing frisbees and things like that. It's just not there as much.
There's no space on Haeundae during the summer to do that more than anything, right? People just sitting and enjoying their chicken and beer and whatnot. Siska says, I wonder if you guys, if you've been to Gwangalli as well, which one you would pick out of the two.
Gwangalli.
Yeah, it's for many locals, isn't it? Yeah. Lots of delicious restaurants around there as well. And then you said, I'd recommend Haedong Yeongungsa Temple as well. That's the temple around the way, right on the side of the cliff, isn't it? That's beautiful.
Siska knows so much, doesn't she?
She's been so many times.
Amazing. Hartley says Hartley Saunders the second. Busan is ready is what I remember the poster saying. This has been a big thing because in Korean, I believe the new slogan they've made for the city. So Korean cities, they always like to have slogans. And Busan and Seoul, they both changed their mayor recently for incidents we won't get into right now. But when the new mayor comes in Busan, they wanted to revamp the city. And the slogan that they used in Korean, which was decided, I believe, was Busanila Chotta. Something like this. And
okay. You
would translate that to, it's good because it's Busan. Because it's Busan, it's good.
Yeah.
Something like that has that nuance in it. But in English, I believe the official translation was, Busan is good. It's like you spend all of these millions of dollars, however much money they spent, to come up with the slogan for the city,
yeah.
Busan is good.
Yeah, Busan is ready is not much more complex, but it at least sounds a bit better in English, like we're ready for the expo kind of thing. I wonder if they've changed that or if that's just another of the taglines, right? We're doing all we can.
Speaking of names, so Busan, this has been, if you look at the characters, which is created, it's created from two characters. San, you obviously know.
Mountain,
that's the character. The first one is the character for the word cauldron.
Oh.
So this refers to Hwangryong-san. We'll show you a picture. And up there where those cherry blossoms are, that's the Hwangryong-san Mountain.
Oh, of which it's named after.
Interesting. So this cauldron mountain, this Busan, comes from there. And that name has been going for about 600-700 years, perhaps longer. So name has some longevity and it's named after the mountain there. That's where you get the san from.
Interesting.
During the Japanese period, it was called Fusan. And in Korea, it was with a P. It was spelled Busan.
For the longest time. And some people still like spell it like that, I feel.
This fascinates me because the Korean spelling didn't change.
Uh-huh.
But I've heard Korean pronunciations change. Mm. If you speak to an old person about the island off the south coast, they might say Jeju. And if you speak to young people, they say Jeju. My point here is the Korean spelling of these words has not changed.
Yeah.
But in the year 2000, all the P's in the English version of the words changed from a P to a B.
Uh-huh.
So it was Busan with a P, and that was Busan.
And maybe the pronunciation has changed over generations is what we are saying, right? It can, because I know there are lots of textbook definitions and explanations for certain words that have changed over the years that younger generation no longer really pay attention to as well.
Well, I was talking about this with my family last night. I showed them a dictionary of people that when they came to the west coast of Korea in the 1870s, and they wrote down the English and Korean words for different things.
Yeah.
And nun was spelt D-O-O-N. Dun.
Oh,
and
wow.
And mul was B-O-O-L. Bul. Bull.
That's interesting.
So those pronunciations, those dialects, those accents have really changed over time. So it's now Busan with a B, and it's been that since 2000, 23 years of Busan.
If you do remember seeing it with a P, you weren't mistaken back in the past. That's what the road signs said and everything.
Yeah, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
You know, when I went to Busan for the first time coming here as an adult in 2008, it must have been, we went on a road trip down the East Coast and finished off in Busan.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
Nice.
And then my wife took me to a viewing spot, which I think was famous for some historical suicide or something like that. And she said, you can see Japan on a clear day. And I was like, no way. Mm. And all the signs said you could. It wasn't a clear day that day, so we couldn't see it. But apparently that's the case, right? It's not that far.
And Korean people stand there and shake their fists. Like, Japan. There is a huge Japanese connection in Busan. I'll try to unpack some of this history. Mm. But also residents, I know people that used to live in Busan and they said they could pick up Japanese television.
Oh, wow.
Which was a huge thing because until, I want to say 2002, again, just 20 years ago, Japanese cultural products were banned in Korea.
Mm.
Like the animations, the movies, the computer games. You could still get them on the black market, but officially they were banned. And so Japan was huge at the time. With
of
its
course.
Movies, with its animation. And so the people in Busan, they could watch Japanese television and see some of the stuff.
Interesting.
Because it was so close. Just to unpack some of that closeness, the closest part to the Japanese territory is just 50 kilometers.
That's the island, right?
Yeah, okay. Tsushima. But Fukuoka is about 180 kilometers.
Wow.
And so they're sister cities, Busan and Fukuoka. Mm. So they're quite close. Whether you can see it on a clear day, I've not done that with my main eyes, but they're really close.
Super close. My mother-in-law's family are from Busan, and her mother spoke almost fluent, fluent Japanese, because she studied in Japan. Mm. I think it was due to the close links even during the colonial times, but afterwards as well, mm-hmm. being physically close. Influence down there.
But it's not only the geographic, it's also the temporal, but by that I mean time. So because it was so close, even as early as the 15th century, the 1400s, Japan was coming into Korea through Busan. Mm. They were trading. They had a port there. After the Imjin War, after 1592, there were diplomatic relations between Korea and Japan. Uh-huh. And Japan established in 1607 in Busan what is known as a weguan. Uh-huh. A weguan is like an enclave. So they had a part of Japan. You can see the words Weguan in there. It's not a part of Japan, but they had a place inside Busan where they could have Japanese establishments, they could trade and port. And you can probably see a little picture on there, but that's been going for a long time. Wow. 500 years that Japan is, and people from Busan, they've had that connection.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because, of course, you're talking about a time when Korea was unified and one, so the northern part of Korea actually was connected to China. But when you're down in Busan, you're much closer to Japan than anything Chinese in terms of influence,
and
I'm guessing.
And you spoke about maybe in the 90s or 80s taking 6-7 hours to drive down there and over the mountains. Imagine how long it took to get down there in 1500s, in the 1600s. And so those cultures without the internet, they would have been very distant. The mountains would have divided these places. Wow. Busan, it was the first international port of Korea, so it's where everybody came in. They didn't come in through Incheon because it was so hard.
Yeah.
Because of the tides, it just doesn't work. So people come in generally through Busan. And Busan had the first kind of tram systems in there as well. During the Japanese colonization period, I'll show you a picture from 1920. These are the trams going through Busan.
Oh, I'd love them to revive them.
Spelled
now.
With a P as well, you can see there.
Interesting.
Or is that an F?
It's an F, isn't it?
Yeah, Busan. Busan.
Wow.
Download the Arirang Radio app on your device for free.
It's Arirang. A-R-I-R-A-N-G Radio.
Benny saying Busan is good, of course, and I've seen a lot of the content on Arirang TV geared towards getting the expo there. Yeah, I've been on at least two or three shows talking about the World Expo history, because apparently, like, a big part of getting this, securing it, is having the people behind your bid. Like, when the evaluators come, and I think they're coming very soon, they want to see, and I don't know how they gauge this, that the public is behind the bid rather than against it.
I think money plays a role as well. I'm just going to throw that out there. I've seen what happens with these international organizations. Yes. And I think you could also pay people to be behind you.
Yes,
can't you?
Come on,
everybody, come out. We'll give you free coffee. For those that don't know, but listen to the rest stop. Denny is over there. We can see him through this window, and he's sending us messages. He's waving angrily at the moment. Denny says, I've been kicked off a... He's not. He's lovely.
He gave us a V sign.
He says, Denny says, I've been kicked off a beach in Korea for swimming ahead of a typhoon. Songjeong Beach was the better hangout back in the day instead of Hyundai. Less crowded, probably different now. And he prefers PIFF, the Busan International Film Festival. Sounds better than Biff, who reminds me of the guy from Back to the Future.
That's true. That's a name in one of my kids' English books as well. You surely should not be swimming ahead of a typhoon. That seems a little bit disingenuous.
If there was a fight between a typhoon and Denny, I'm not sure. I might put my money on Denny. Like, he's a big lad.
Sunflower Sky is saying, if you're down in Busan, you must go to the market as well, the seafood market. It is very famous, Chagaichi Market. And your father calls it Busan with a P because that's what it was dubbed when he was stationed there in the 80s. Oh, that's nice to hear.
My brother-in-law, who deals with the American military, he's really confused about all these names changing. actually. He's got no idea. Because he doesn't speak English. And he's like, just give me one word. Nian would love that message from Sunflower because Nian is also talking about dates in a fish market.
It's definitely different. A Korean fish market, live seafood in front of your eyes.
And Nian says, which dictionary should I buy to study Korean? There's one called Apago. Put a P in front of that. And that's what you want to be using,
perfect.
I would say.
Always up to date these days. Yeah. Where are we going to take things from here, David?
This is a really important part of, I'm worried about saying Busan, Busan. This is a really important part about Busan, which is that it was the only, Busan and Daegu, they were the only places on the Korean Peninsula that weren't invaded by the North, that the North didn't take over.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Daegu as well. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. Daegu as well kind of survived. As a result, they become refugee sites for Koreans from all over the peninsula in what is from now South Korea and from North Korea as well. Mm. So everybody just went into Busan. We'll show you some pictures of these refugee trains.
Wow.
But they think around 500,000 refugees found their way to Busan because it was the only place left that hadn't been taken over by communists at the time.
Yeah.
This is what they call the Busan perimeter. It also means that whereas much of the rest of the country suffered heavy bombing, heavy attacks and things like this, Busan didn't. And so in terms of architecture, in terms of what remains, in terms of that also psychological continuation, Busan was never taken over by the North Koreans. It retained its autonomy.
Yeah.
And so there is this idea that this part of the country is a little bit special. Mm-hmm. This part of the country retains a character that is untainted by war. And if you've ever seen the film Train to Busan, you might start seeing the zombies a little bit differently.
Absolutely. Mm. The stronghold of humanity, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, my father-in-law, I mentioned my mother-in-law was from Busan. He fled North Korea and ended up in Busan originally because of this reason, this very reason. Interesting.
Because you have 500,000 people from all over the country, and there might be more. We're not quite sure how many people did. But they become refugees and they bring with them their local culture. One of the things you get now is milmyeon. So milmyeon is using a version of naengmyeon, which is famous in Pyongyang, which is a northern food. But in Busan now, they had to adapt and adjust the recipes. And so they're using wheat noodles in this instead of flour. Yeah, so that's where that comes from. And if you've ever been to Busan, you've probably heard them talking about 돼지국밥.
Mmm, that's delicious.
It is. And that's a result of the Korean War. That's a result of people coming from around the peninsula with all their different traditions and ways of cooking, bringing them to Busan. And that's where they all started getting mixed up together.
Oh, a nice melting pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another good film of which that's the backdrop, that Gukje Shijang, to My Father.
Yeah.
He's got that stall in the international market there. It's not all about Busan, but it's a good like introduction into it. So Busan, for the longest time, has been a unique place then in Korean history.
It has been a unique place. If you've ever heard about the miracle on the Han River and things like that, we often talk about the markets in Seoul, especially around the Pyeonghwa Market, I believe it's called, down by the Cheonggyecheon, where you have Jeondaeil, that famous symbol of workers' rights. But Busan was famous for its textile factories, for making sneakers, for making T-shirts.
Mm.
Because in other parts of the South, these big companies were building their shipbuildings and things like that, weren't they? But Busan was the place for the factories, and it really generated a lot of the economy.
When I was growing up in like the late 80s, early 90s, a lot of stuff that I bought in the UK had made in Korea. You know, there was a big push for that for that time. And then it kind of disappeared and you'd get Korean brands, but were now made in China or other places like that. But for a moment when I was growing up, I was actually really proud. I was like, look, this was made in Korea, yay. Yeah.
And now everybody's got Samsung televisions and things like that. But that meant the population surged from about 1.8 to 3 million during the 70s and 80s. It also meant that Busan expanded. So we're trying to show you this wonderful picture here, how Busan over time, from sort of 1912, 1914, 1942, what is known as Busan, still the same name, but just from that little cauldron mountain, has just grown and grown.
Wow. And that's why, we're proud to call it our second largest city.
Absolutely.
There. in terms of it these days, then, what's the demographic like down
there? This really surprised me. Busan, it's losing about 40,000 people per year in terms of population, so it's shrinking. I'm pretty sure that a lot of Busan residents are happy about that. They get more room, more space. But also, not only has the population been shrinking since the mid-90s, that's been a continuous trend, the city also currently has the largest elderly population.
A lot of
old people there. So it's a shrinking and aging population in Busan.
That doesn't seem good for the future.
But what happened is because the textiles and all the things that you were seeing in England, because that industry was declining, around the mid-90s, early 2000s, Busan decided to shift towards culture. Uh-huh. So instead of focusing on doing these textiles, it would have, as Denny said earlier, the Busan International Film Festival, which has become a staple of the Asian and the global movie circuits.
Yeah.
And we can't go without saying something about Kamcheon Culture Village, which just, if you type Busan in, you're going to see these pictures. Kamcheon Cultural Village never used to really be a thing until about 20 years ago. But now, look at that.
Yeah, the colours there.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Insta hotspot.
You've got to get that on the gram.
And it's not what you'd say in Korea traditionally is like a well-to-do area or anything. This is like more low-cost housing and villas and low-rises. But they've done it so well in terms of the marketing and then the painting of it. The alleyways have beautiful murals as well. It's really a lovely place to go. I think it's quite far from like Haeundae Beach, so you have to plan your trip accordingly. Love it.
And love Busan, and good luck for Expo 2030, listeners. I hope you learned a little bit more something about the city of Busan, and I hope that you can visit again one day or visit for the first time. Maybe we'll see you down there for some volleyball and bikinis on the beach.
Mankinis for us. David, thank you so much for today. We'll see you again next Monday.
See you next week.
You can listen to Monday's segment Now and Then with David Tizard every Monday from 10 a.m. KST on #DailyK.